And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Glad you're with us. Happy Friday. Damon Amendolara, DA, in for Jim today. Jim getting inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame tonight. You could usually hear me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations. The Raiders getting a big win last night, pushing themselves to 5-4. In prime time over the Chargers, we'll talk to former Raiders head coach Hugh Jackson about John Gruden's turnaround at Oakland coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. And later on in the hour, we'll go inside the analytics. We'll go inside the metrics of James Harden's kryptonite. Good strip clubs. It's all coming up this hour here on the Jim Rome Show. As always, want to jump in on the phones. It's open, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. In honor of Jim getting into the Hall of Fame, we played some clips of the hack-off last hour. I'm not a fan of the hack-off. Signed, J.W. Bobbitt. That's from 12 Wood. Berger in Austin tweets, I think Dion would be a great fit for the Florida State job. Signed, Dasmati. Can we talk about Baker Mayfield here for a moment? Here comes Baker, swaggering into the season. All types of confidence, all types of bravado, all types of arrogance. And this actually played well to type. You know, Baker Mayfield, chip on his shoulder, former walk-on, went to Oklahoma, won a Heisman, planted the flag. Said, come get me, come at me. And that attitude actually was a really good thing for the Cleveland Browns organization because who in Cleveland would ever say, yeah, come at us? The Browns. They're the punchline. The 30-year losers. So Baker walking in there and saying, follow me, I want to be here, creating a little bit of attitude about being a member of the Browns, that's a good thing. That can work. That was a positive last year. So, of course, now full year as a starter, his offensive coordinator promoted to head coach. They've added Odell Beckham. This should be a season where Baker Mayfield is even better. And Baker Mayfield's been even worse. He's been so bad. You've got to scroll all the way down throughout all of the quarterbacks in the NFL to find where he sits in most significant quarterback passer statistics. So what's the deal? What's the deal with Baker Mayfield? After the loss to the Broncos, I mean, the Broncos last week, here is Baker Mayfield going from strong, alpha male, confident, to looking like a drug dealer forced to do community service. I mean, so forlorn. The mustache. The overcoat. He looked like he was trying to find work at 21 Jump Street. It was just so sad. So pathetic. Come on. Where's the confident, brash Baker Mayfield? Where's the guy that's the alpha male, the lead dog? Follow me, guys. We're going out to win. No. No, this guy... this guy looked like the dropout boyfriend that you wanted your sister to break up with. Oh, he's coming to pick you up again? Has he found a job? That's what Baker Mayfield has turned into. That's what being a Browns quarterback can turn you into. Just hearing him on Sunday after this game reminded me of all of those college tough guys that married a wife that whipped them into shape, and then they just kind of came around and said, no, I can't go out on Saturday. No, we're going apple picking. No, I better go. I better go. We're watching The Voice. I mean, this is what he's turned into. College tough guy into neutered husband.
I think, you know, people had this picture-perfect thing that it was going to be sunshine and rainbows, and he was going to have a whole lot of one-on-ones. It's Odell Beckham. He's going to have double coverage. We have to find ways to format things to get him the ball and force-feed him early on to where he can make an impact before we can, you know, have the perfect look to give him a shot play. And I think that's something that we learned the hard way. But, you know, I think as the weeks have gone on, we're continuing to improve on how to get the ball to him.
Yeah, you sound real confident about that. Real confident. You got Freddie Kitchens hired. You're going to get Freddie Kitchens fired. Last year, Baker Mayfield staring down his old head coach. This year, shaving off his mustache because he, quote, doesn't deserve it. He said that. I don't deserve my mustache. I don't deserve my mustache. What has happened to our alpha male? I don't deserve my mustache. I don't deserve the mustache. Oh, my God. Look at where he ranks in yards per game. He ranks behind Marcus Mariota. Behind Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota was benched for Ryan Tannehill. Baker Mayfield has fewer touchdowns thrown than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton just got benched. Just got benched. Andy Dalton has thrown more touchdowns than Baker Mayfield. Hasn't had A.J. Green all season. Baker Mayfield's thrown fewer touchdowns than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who plays in a team that doesn't want to win a football game. They're actively trying to lose every game, and he didn't get the job for the full season. He's thrown more touchdowns for a team trying to lose that was disassembled in the offseason, trying to lose, than Baker Mayfield that was given Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. Do you realize that Baker Mayfield has thrown the most interceptions in the NFL tied with Jameis Winston? He's thrown as many INTs as Jameis Winston? And he's got a lower quarterback rating than, oh, be still my heart, Mitchell Trubisky. Baker Mayfield is a broken man. Baker Mayfield is lost. He's lost. Baker Mayfield is in a glass case of emotion. And it is sad. It is sad and pathetic and lousy to watch. You know what? If you're going to stink, go out firing. If you're going to stink this bad, give me some misplaced cocky bravado. I don't want to see you whipped. I don't want to see you lost. I don't want to see you say I don't deserve my mustache. What happened? What happened? Well, what happened was Baker Mayfield was really arrogant when things came easy. And when things got hard, it all went away. And that's kind of a sign of a guy whose arrogance is a little artificial. You know, here's the fact. Freddie Kitchens has been an absolute, flat-out nightmare. Total nightmare. Absolute blazing dumpster fire. But, look, Baker, you've been given as many weapons as anybody could possibly have. The guy that called the plays for you got promoted to head coach because of you. And you are going to walk into a post-game press conference dressed like a drug dealer doing community service, saying, I don't deserve my mustache. And you think the guys are now going to follow you? All easy breezy. When you can stare down your former head coach and plant flags, not so easy when people go, well, why do you suck so bad? Just so sad. Let's also talk about last night's Thursday night football broadcast. I think Buck and Aikman are phenomenal. Once again, they were phenomenal last night. But this is the final game of the Black Hole, potentially in primetime. This might be the final game most of America ever watches at the Black Hole, the real Black Hole. They'll try to recreate the Black Hole in Las Vegas. Won't be nearly as cool. There is a beautiful fall sunset. Did you see pictures of this? I saw pictures of this on Twitter. Beautiful purple and pink streaks through the sky. Gorgeous early November sunset. I said, this is absolutely breathtaking. And then we cut to the pregame show where Michael Strahan and Tony Gonzalez are being rained on in the middle of a random city block in New York City. What are we doing? Are we trying to create College Game Day? Because it ain't working. There were 12 people there. Who would want to be there? It was a cold, miserable, dreary, rainy night here in New York City. Yeah, let's get all the fired up fans of the Raiders and Chargers in Manhattan. Let's whip up a frenzy. Executives at Fox, College Game Day works because the fans of the teams are there on site. They're there. Like, we don't get ready for Bama LSU tomorrow in Milwaukee. Pre-game show coming to you live from Des Moines. Tons of Bama and LSU fans here. We got Strahan getting rained on. Howie Long's got all types of snot coming out of his nose. It's a 42-degree night with freezing rain, everybody in parkas, and this is the pregame show for what? For what? What are we proving with this pregame show? What have we proven here? Send the guys to Oakland. Put them in front of the black hole. That's the theater. That's the backdrop. You know, Fox is doing a great job. They're trying to salute the veterans. Did you see the veterans in the rain yesterday? They're sitting there in the rain in ponchos. They don't deserve that. They've actually served our country. They are our heroes. They don't deserve to be sitting in the rain listening to Raiders Chargers breakdown from 3,000 miles away. What are we doing? What's the win there? College Game Day is great because you get 5,000 students that have nothing better to do than drink beer and brainstorm their signs at the food court the night before. That's actually what makes it great. They're just scrolling Twitter, checking Facebook, looking at Instagram and liking and thinking of their signs for the next day. These are just 25 people that were looking for the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree that wasn't up yet. Like, yeah, we just heard tree's not up yet. I guess there's a bunch of guys. I think I know that guy from the Kelly Ripa show. He's talking about something with the Chargers. Coming up here next, the Oakland Raiders get the win. They move to 5-4 and now have a pretty legitimate shot at talking postseason if they have a strong second half of the year. We'll talk to their former head coach, Hugh Jackson, on how John Gruden has turned things around. Hugh joins us next. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim here on CBS Sports Radio. You've got plans this weekend. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT Silicon Wiper Blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting two times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT Silicon Wiper Blades, only available at Walmart. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being part of the Jim Rome Show today. DA Damon Amendolara in for Jim this afternoon, as Jim prepares for his induction into the Radio Hall of Fame later on tonight. As always, you can hit me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Zach in Wisco tweets, DA, Baker Mayfield looks like he took fourth place in a Gardner Minshew costume contest. Yeah. Baker looks like a sadder version of Minshew Mania. Mike in Buffalo tweets, I got Kitchens fired. Signed, Left Eye Lopez. Oh, we're going Left Eye now, are we? Ed tweets, the Browns could have it worse. They could have Mitch Trubisky. You know, That's when you know it's a bad season for Trubisky, when he's the punchline to Baker Mayfield. As we effort Hugh Jackson here, I want to talk about Cam Newton for a second. This is very difficult because Cam Newton has said a lot of cool things, good things, introspective things this year. After he was injured and they lost in week two in that Thursday nighter against the Buccaneers, and Cam Newton, the entire Panthers coaching staff, worried about him on a quarterback sneak with a ill-fated final play. They lose the game to the Buccaneers. After all of that, Cam Newton said, I've got to think about my career. I've got to think about my long-term future. I have to be better. You know, here are things we haven't often heard from Cam Newton. Cam Newton has been pretty soaked in ego, has been defiant to the face of criticism, has been sulky and pouty many times over when being criticized. And here was Cam really understanding what was at stake. And he also takes to Instagram when they put him on IR to end his season earlier this week, and writes, Charlotte and Panthers will forever be in my heart. I will work my tail off to be stronger, faster, and smarter for you guys. Until then, I will continue to support the hell out of the Panthers and for Kyle Allen and Will Greer. Well, this is great. This is kind of the Cam Newton we always wanted to see. You know, Cam after the Super Bowl, sulking through the post-game presser, refusing to answer questions. This was his big moment, the NFL MVP, a 15-1 Panthers season, and he ends up losing the fumble late. They lose to the Broncos, and he refuses to kind of answer questions. And that seemed like the immature, pouty, sulky Cam Newton. And here he is pretty clearly growing up from then. You know, Kyle Allen posted in his Instagram how supportive and great Cam has been this season. Just great. Just great. Except I didn't read you all of the Instagram message from Cam. He did say, I will work my tail off to be stronger, faster, and smarter. But he also said, and accurater. What? Cam wrote, Charlotte and Panthers, forever in my heart, I will work my tail off to be stronger, faster, smarter, and accurater for you guys. Accurater? Accurater? Can somebody in the Auburn English department get on line 9? Accurater? Look, I see a lot of bad grammar and a lot of bad spelling out there, but this is not a word. Accurater? Stronger, faster, accurater? I mean, there's a bunch of little dotted red lines that come up when you type in accurater. That's the sign for not a word. You know, Cam also has worn some pretty bizarre outfits this year. And while talking about his long-term future and talking about being introspective, is wearing a babushka. Cam Newton in that press conference was wearing an outfit that looked like Mrs. Doubtfire. And, you know, Cam just strikes me as a guy that it looks good, it seems good, and then you look a little deeper and go, He's kind of like Chinese food at the mall. You pass by, you're like, oh, that smells really good. It looks really good. I'm going to have some of that. I get 3 options. Great. 3 choices and rice. Oh, and fried rice and a free soda. And then like 20 minutes after that, you just leave so queasy. And that's how I felt reading through Cam Newton's Instagram. I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, he's supporting his rookie quarterbacks and forever in his heart. And, oh, he wants to be accurater? Oh. And then I'm like, oh, he's talking about retirement possibly and how he wants to make sure that the final part of his career is remembered as a great quarterback. And he needs to take a long, hard look at himself and be better. Oh, this is good. This is maturation. Oh, but he's wearing a babushka. And he's, oh, no, but right. And He's dressed like Mr. Peanut. Oh. Ah, now I don't feel so great. I want to support Cam. I really do. I want to support Cam. Hell, I dressed up as Cam for Halloween in the babushka. You can check my Instagram at Damon Amendo. Go right there. You'll see it. I want to support this guy. The guy is totally swagalicious. He's been one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the game for a while. He seems like he's starting to grow up, and then he uses the word accurater, and he dresses like Mrs. Doubtfire and Mr. Peanut and Steamboat Willie, and I just go, ah, no, no, no.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS.
I know I'm getting a lot of run on Twitter from my smack-off call from the summer. I realize I probably ran a little long. I get it. I probably could have done 5 minutes on Matt in LA and it would have been fine. Six might have been a little long. Seven, possibly overkill. 8 and 9, I killed the horse, flogged it to death, brought it back to life, and flogged it some more. All right, fine. I was a little excited to really go in on Matt in LA, and there was just so much good content. I'm hearing it plenty on Twitter. I got it. I got it. I get it. It takes me 3 hours to watch 60 minutes. I get it. All right, I got it. I make Ben Stein sound like the Micro Machines guy. I get it. All right. I ran a little long. I got hard outs today. Hard outs. That's all I need. I just need somebody to say, you can only go until this time, then you got to throw it a break. And I can do that. Okay? I can do that. I'm a trained chimpanzee. I can do that. But when Jim says, here's your golden ticket, and you can take out all of the garbage with Matt in LA, I go, oh, well, I'll take all of the time. All of it. We're efforting Hugh Jackson when we come back. Either way, I want to talk about this James Harden story. Because one intrepid Reddit user did some deep dive analytics and found that there is a very easy way to stop James Harden. Take him to the best strip clubs in America. There is a direct correlation. We will bring that to you coming up here next. DA in for Jim here on CBS Sports Radio. Jay Berman, he has your headlines.
38 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question where you, the clones, get to submit a question. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Chad in Baltimore writes in, DA, are you planning on calling it again to the 2020 Smack Off? If so, would you want to go first again? You know, my goal in Smack Off 2019 was not to win the thing. I kind of feel like paid professionals. I'm paid to be on the radio to express my feelings, whether you think that it's terrible or not. Probably should not have been eligible to win money on the same radio station, and I don't even know if I was. So I really went in there to settle a score, to murder Matt in LA so that he was never heard from ever again, and I think I did the trick. At least I hope I did. But going first did have a competitive disadvantage because I could not derive anything from the previous calls and utilize it, weave it into my call. And let's face it, we all have a recency bias. The later you go, the stickier the memory is of how good or bad the call was. That helps out. But I was just glad to grab the baton early and go. And because of it, I could basically take up the entire first segment, which was not necessarily the goal, but an unintended win in the Smack Off. Damon Amendolara in for Jim today. We were tracking Hugh Jackson. Hugh had said he would join us earlier in the morning, but no-showed on us, kind of like his Browns career.
So we'll find ways to move through this, carry on. This story is amazing, really, truly amazing. And it shows two things. It shows that fans are smarter than we give them credit for. I know that if you see some content out there, television, radio, digital, it'll seem like it was programmed for 8-year-olds. And I think that that is a real problem from some programmers, assuming that our audience is really stupid. Because there was a Reddit user that used his brain for a remarkable, remarkable feat of good. This Reddit user, named the Angry Centrist, found a correlation using metrics between James Harden's performances and the quality of strip club in the city in which he performed. This Reddit user went through all of James Harden's road games, and James Harden, a noted fan of the adult entertainment, went through all of the road games he's played at and then stacked it up against the average review number on Yelp of the top 10 strip clubs in the city. So this guy took Yelp reviews of strip clubs. By the way, didn't know that was a thing. Did not know this is what we're using Yelp for. You know, you think you use it maybe for a mechanic, dry cleaning. No, strip clubs as well. Who knew? You want to know where to get the best omelet in town or who's got the best strippers? So this guy takes the top 10 reviews, rankings of the strip clubs in each NBA road city and then stacks it against James Harden's average performance, his average road performance, okay? And what this user found was that there is a direct correlation statistically between the best strip clubs in America and a downward trend of James Harden's play on the road. If you understand this, more power to you. I don't, but I'm taking it at face value. Conclusion: I have proven to a statistical significant degree James Harden's game performance declines in cities with higher rated strip clubs. Correlation coefficient between average strip club rating and total number of subpar games equals 4.575. Given the nature of the subject matter, this would be considered to be a moderate to strong correlation. Coefficient of determination, R2, between average of strip club rating and total number of subpar games equals 0.21. This means James Harden's box score is 20% predictable based on the quality of a city's strip clubs. Other interesting facts from said Reddit user: Harden's best performance comes in a city with the worst rated strip clubs, Toronto. Harden's worst performance comes in a city with the best rated strip clubs, Miami. And most notably, Salt Lake City has the third ranked strip clubs in all of the NBA. Who knew? Who knew? This teaches us two things. Number one, fans, our audience, is smarter than you give them credit for, and they're using their intellect for diabolical things. But these are the advanced analytics that I think we should be chasing. I mean, blah, blah, blah with efficiency, plus, minus, all of these nerd terms that nobody can actually physically get their mind around. Instead, James Harden, here's the stats, better in cities with bad strip clubs. Look, this is what we need. Forget the players-only broadcasts. What I want is this on the TNT bottom line. How is Harden in this city based on strip club rating? I need to know, going into every Rockets road game, what's the strip club rating? This is where math works. This is how we could get kids involved. We all know the American education system needs overhauling. We need more engagement from our young people. This is how you get it. You can't tell me you wouldn't walk into a high school algebra class, give them this equation and say, figure it out, and they wouldn't be totally all in on it. Bravo to this Reddit user. Bravo. And for James Harden, your secret has been unveiled. So you might want to take it easy. You might. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying you might want to take it easy. By the way, can we just check in on my Smack-Off call? Just see if it's still going on since June.
I almost have to give Matt credit. He's like that raggedy-ass three-legged dog down at the pier. He's eating his own fur, gnawing through the trash, sleeping in his own vomit. He hasn't bathed in years, but he's there every day.
Yep, still going on. Yep. Okay, just checking. Can we go to the phones here? We have Parody Larry, who's hanging on the phones, ready to deliver Jim his induction speech tonight for the Radio Hall of Fame. Parody Larry, take it away.
Hey, DA, how you doing? Hey, congrats, Jim, on your Hall of Fame induction. And I have it on word that Alvy might not be able to make it because he can't find enough babysitters for his 35 kids. But here's my speech, Jim, in case you need me. It's an honor and a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to induct Jim into the Hall of Fame. And for those who are here for the free food, Beaks and Iray, you'll have to just sit back and enjoy it. Everyone else, if you don't know Jim, here you go. Come and listen to my story about a man named Rome. Went to school in Santa Barbara, but L.A. is his home. Started out in San Diego, singing smack right from the set. Spit out some straight fire and got punched by Everett. Jim created the jungle, now his legend is secure. Married Janet, had two kids, and got rid of the Mercure. All the clones love his show, it's even on TV. Now he's in the Hall of Fame, well-deserved, we all agree. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the reigning king of smack, the best there ever was. Let me introduce you to my little friend, Jim Rome. Rack me, I'm out.
Parody Larry with the induction speech and song for Jim. That was surprisingly pretty good. I think that was kind of shockingly pretty good. Didn't expect that one. Russell tweets, D.A., Hugh did you like he did the Browns. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that. Ken in San Antonio, Damon, even I think your Smack-Off call was long and intrusive. Should have wrapped it up sooner. Sincerely, Toby in Houston. More tweets. Wish I had hired that guy to study my ex years ago. Signed, Elon. That's from Canadian Hitman. There is kind of nothing better than NBA deep analytics on things like strip clubs. This is what we need. Can I just bring up the point that last night was such a cool night for the Black Hole? The Raiders looked good. They looked exciting. The defense got after Phillip Rivers, created a defensive score with the pick six. Great young running back, burst in the end zone, game-winning touchdown. Prime time in Oakland felt good, felt right. And yet, just as Raiders fans get to feel good, the NFL has decided to take away their football team. It's not like history dating back to 1961 is important at all, right? Right? I think what has happened with both the Chargers and the Raiders is criminal. And here's why. The Raiders were charged $350 million. To move to Las Vegas. $350 million that the Raiders have to pay to move to Vegas. The Chargers had to pay $650 million to move to Los Angeles. Okay, so between the two of them, that was $1 billion in relocation fees. $1 billion. $1 billion paid out from teams to the league central office to move. But there was no way to find the money to build the stadium in San Diego or Oakland, right? How could we possibly bridge that gap? How could we possibly find the money to bridge the gap between the county and the city and the team? The fact is, nothing has been as grimy, as slimy, as greedy as the way that the NFL handled the Los Angeles relocation program. Nothing. And that's saying something for these guys. 6 years ago, Robert Kraft declared, before even the Rams had decided to move back to L.A., said Los Angeles could support two teams. And don't be surprised if there is. What did he know? He knew that the NFL had tinsel in its eyes, Hollywood in its eyes. Oh, Los Angeles. Oh, sunshine. Oh, Hollywood. Glitz, glamour. Celebrity. That's what the NFL is constantly chasing. Celebrity, celebrity, celebrity. They wanted, because they mistakenly thought L.A. could handle two football teams. And what it's proven is that it can't. But they didn't want to do the market research to find out. They just said, you're going to give us a free stadium in San Diego? No. Free stadium in Oakland? No. Free stadium in St. Louis? No. Move them all to Los Angeles. Let's get teams there. In Oakland, what you watched last night, do you not think that city and that fan base still deserves the Raiders? Do you not think that that's the city that's dealt with 60 years of will they stay, won't they stay, are they going to L.A., are they coming back, what can we do for Al Davis to bring them back, build Mount Davis at the top of the stadium, now curtained off. They've done everything, everything, and they couldn't come to a conclusion about the stadium because it's traditionally, historically hard to do so in the state of California, and they were a couple of $100 million away, and the NFL has the gall to say, okay, you can go to Vegas for the free stadium, but you got to pay $350 million. Well, how about the $350 there or the $650? That's $1.3 billion that went to the NFL central office for the Rams and the Chargers to move to L.A. How about some of that money is used to bridge the gap between the community of Oakland and the Raiders to make the stadium work? How about that same thing was used in San Diego to allow Chargers fans who had had their bolts for 60 years stay there? But instead, no. Wanted free handouts. Stan Kroenke's going to build his own stadium. No charge to us. Great. Las Vegas wants to offer a free stadium. No charge to us. Great. And instead, what we saw last night ripped away forever because of the greed of the NFL. That'll do it here on the Jim Rome Show. Thanks to Tom DeCelestino, your executive producer today. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Bogish, and Jay Berman on your headlines. I'm DA Damon Amendolar. You could usually catch me earlier than Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Very cool to fill in for Jim today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Enjoy football this weekend. If you're listening on CBS Sports Radio, I will see you for Sunday morning football coming up on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, everybody. Tiki and Tierney is next.